Okay, hey, good morning.
Morning.
What's so good about it?
We're here.
Well, you're here, that's right. And we're glad you're here. We're going to open our Bibles first to Hebrews chapter 11, and then we're going to jump back to Exodus 13. So you kind of want to put your finger in one, and then we'll start in Hebrews 11. And then we'll come back to Exodus 13. Well, last week we talked about Passover and what an important chapter that is in the Old Testament. It's so powerful. Moses was sent back to Egypt. God said, I want you to go back now. He'd been wandering around, you know, taking care of sheep for 40 years in the desert, and then he God called him and said, go back. This is what I want you to say. And he says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. This is a message from God. Now, we looked at all the different things that happened there, but God ultimately did it. There was 9 plagues, and then the 10th plague was the plague on the firstborn. And in Exodus chapter 12, the blood of a lamb was on the doorpost, on the top and on the sides. And the Lord would pass over every house that had the blood. Very, very important. And it's absolutely a picture of the New Testament where Jesus is our Passover lamb. And his blood, because of his blood, judgment is passed over each one of us as we apply that blood, as we put our faith in Jesus Christ and the cross, that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood for our sins, and that he was buried and rose from the dead. So the nation of Israel, they're set free from Egypt, and yet there is still God's hand to be seen. The plague of the firstborn, and Pharaoh finally says, okay, go, get out of here. So they're in the process of leaving, but still God's hand was yet to be seen in opening the way for them. So today we're going to talk about through the Red Sea, the operative word being through. It was insurmountable. It was impossible where God led them. And we're talking about 2 to 3 million people and their backs, you know, they're up against something they could not get through on their own, but God made a way. And that is our God, the God who makes a way. Isaiah chapter 43 says this. Okay, we're still having trouble here. It's not. Oh, you know why? Because I didn't turn this on. See, it's been me all along. Okay, there we go. So we have the land of Egypt and the land of Israel is up here, right? Israel up here. Egypt is down here. And we see that the Red Sea, this is the Red Sea, different portions of a wider portion, smaller portion. But even in this section here, for 2 to 3 million people to get through, it was impossible. But God would make a way. I want to get to this scripture and we'll come back to that map. And it says, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. I want us to apply this to our lives because we face so many different things in our lives and God wants to take us through them. And he says that he will make a way. But, you know, so often we face different things and we think, you know, there's no way. This is impossible. I can never possibly get through this. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. It says here, By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. It says the people, they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. So notice this, and again, the key word is through. Facing different situations in our lives, I think what our human nature says, I would like to go around. I would like to go over. I would like to go under. Anything but going through this, that's not my choice. But we're going to see this was God's choice. God made that choice. Now let's turn back to Exodus chapter 13. We'll pick up the account in verse 17. Exodus 13 and starting in verse 17. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So now we go back to this map here. You see, they were up in this section here, and the easiest and quickest way, obviously, is just to go right along here. No water. Just go right through and up to the promised land up here. But God said, no, I don't want you to go that way. Now, personally, I like to take shortcuts. Do you like shortcuts? You know, let's take the easy way. But in effect, God was saying, you know what? The shortcut is not the easy way. It might be the quickest way, but it's not the easiest way, because the Egyptians had fortresses and outposts all along that route that they could have taken. They weren't ready for war. In actual fact, as you read the accounts of the people of Israel, they had this propensity to go back to Egypt. Go back to Egypt. It's like, have you forgotten what was your life situation back in Egypt? We tend to forget. We face something difficult. We tend to forget what we just got delivered from, what we just got out of. You want to go back to Egypt? Why do you want to go back to Egypt? Like, verse 18 says this, that God led the people. So God led the people around by the desert road and toward the Red Sea. Notice that it's very clear here who's in charge, who's leading this group, who's making the direction. It's God. He led them toward the Red Sea, and the Israelites, they went up out of Egypt armed for a battle. So God is leading them toward the Red Sea. But that's not where they're going, right? But the Red Sea is now going to be right in front of them. You see, the Red Sea is going to be right there. I like this satellite picture here. You can see, again, they're traveling from up here, and they're going to want to go up here. Here's the promised land, but the Red Sea is here in all different, you know, sections of the Red Sea. But that's where God was leading them. And you say, well, that doesn't even seem to make sense. They bring the bones of Joseph with them, as Joseph asked so many, many years previously. In verse 20, it says this, after leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. This is a picture of the faithful guidance of God, that God was going to faithfully show them the way. Whether it was daytime, whether it was nighttime, He was going to be there. He's faithful. The question is, are we going to be listening to His guidance? Because I believe with all my heart that He still leads us today. Now, maybe not through a physical pillar of cloud that would show fire at nighttime, but I believe He leads His people today, too, if we're willing to listen. Sometimes, you know, when you study this about the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, it says, when it remained, you stay. When it moved, you move. Sometimes we want to move when God says, no, I want you to stay. And sometimes we stay when God says, no, I want you to move. We have to be listening, and we have to be willing to do what God says, even when we don't understand it. That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So powerful passage, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not what? On your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will make your path straight or direct your paths. So to trust Him that He knows what's best, that He knows what He's doing. Look at chapter 14. It gets a little interesting. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. And they are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal-Zephon. And Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. Remember, who's leading them here? It's God leading them, you see. But it doesn't seem helpful. In fact, they're going here, then they're going back. They're kind of wandering around. First, God says, no, I don't want you going the shorter route. And now he's saying, I want you to do this. And part of it was for Pharaoh's sake, that he would get this impression that these people have no clue what they're doing. Sometimes it's also true that when we're just trying to follow what God's telling us to do, people around us say, you're confused. What are you doing trying to follow this God that you say you believe in? But honestly, looking at where these people were, they were kind of in a bind now, as we'll see. Pastor Chuck says they're in a trap. God deliberately led them there. And many times God leads us into impossible situations where there's no way out and nothing we can do and no hope. God could lead me into an impossible situation? Well, yeah. Why? Why would God do that? Well, you know, I like it if He would just lead me to, you know, easy situations and situations that I can get myself out of and that I can take care of. And then what need is there for faith? You see, when He leads us into impossible situations, it's a time for us to say, God, okay, You have my attention. Now, what is it You're trying to do here? But in the end, as we'll see in this account, God gets all the glory. And that's what happens here. God gets all the glory. But in those situations, God wants us to look up and look to Him. Verse 4, God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through the Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am Yahweh the Lord. So the Israelites did this. See, God had a plan all along. And He would receive glory for it. But the Israelites, still, they had to make a choice. Are we going to do what God says to do or not? We read in Hebrews 11, it says that the people, they did it by faith, by trust in the Almighty. Verse 5, when the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, he was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials, they changed their minds. About them, and they said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go. We have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready, and he took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. And the Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, they pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, near opposite Baal-Zephon. They were where they were supposed to be. And now Pharaoh, he says, listen, why did we let them go? Well, he has a little memory problem too, right? There was 10 big reasons why he let them go, right? But now, him and his army, they've caught up to them, and basically this is the picture. You have Pharaoh and all his troops and armies on one side, the people, and then on the other side of the people of Israel, you have the Red Sea. So now they're trapped. And Pharaoh thinks, oh, this is all going my way. You know, those people are confused, they're helpless, and we've got them now. The truth is, sometimes that's us, isn't it? We are in a place and we feel like we're trapped and we're confused, and the enemy thinks that he has us. And the enemy, truthfully, just like Pharaoh, the enemy does not want to let us go. He doesn't want to let you go. He doesn't want to let me go. He wants to hold on to us. But God had a way and God had a plan. And that's what God was going to do in this situation. Now, Exodus chapter 12 was an incredible chapter. But I think this section, 13 and 14, where the people of Israel go through the sea, is something they kept looking back on because it was so miraculous, so incredible. But was it easy for them? Absolutely not. Look at verse 10. As Pharaoh approached the Israelites, they looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And they were terrified. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They were completely consumed with fear. You see, one of the things the enemy wants to do is give us fear. It says that, you know, he growls, he roars like a lion. He wants to scare us to death. And that's one of the main tactics that the enemy of our souls wants to use, is fear. Well, these people were terrified too, but they did the right thing here in this verse anyways. What does it say? It says they cried out to the Lord. There was nothing else they could do. And again, God led them to this place. God even had a hand in Pharaoh coming after them, and now here they are, trapped. And it says they cried out to the Lord. That's good, right? I think, you know, like we saw with Moses, you know, what's your final answer, Moses? God tells Moses, I want you to go. What's your final answer? You know, send someone else. Well, his first answer was, here I am, Lord, when God started speaking to him. First answer. Now, the first thing they did was cry out to the Lord. But then in verse 11 and 12, things change. They start attacking Moses. They said to Moses, verse 11, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. They start attacking Moses. They start good, cried out to the Lord. In fact, the Lord was the one that got them into that situation, that place. But then they start attacking Moses, the one who was just a servant. That's all Moses really was. But I really love what Moses does here in these next couple of verses chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And Moses answered the people. He says, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still or to be quiet. The Lord will fight for you. Don't let fear control you. He says, stand firm, put your trust in me, God says to each one of us, because he's going to fight for you. So often we think we got to get in there and do it. We got to do it all. Now we have to play a part. We're going to see in the very next verse, God says, okay, this is what I want you to do now. But the Lord is going to fight for you. The Lord is the one who's going to make that way through. When there is no way through, God opens the way through, you see. It's true today in your life and my life as well. The Lord himself will fight for you. One translation says, just stay calm. I don't know about you, but you know, at our house, we have a really huge red button on the wall, and it's called the panic button, right? And when things just don't go the way you want them to, the way we want them to, we just rush over there and hit that panic button. You ever do that? No, Tony never does that. You know, it's a walk, it's a life, and we all have to learn. We all have to grow. We have to say, you know what, last time I really panicked about that, and then God opened the way. And then it happens again, and we hit the panic button, and then we say afterwards, oh, why did I do that again? I panicked again. But hopefully we begin to learn and say, you know what? God is going to make a way. He got me through this time and this time and this time. But we're human too, and we're prone to fear. We're prone to striving. We're prone to panic. But just know that God is going to fight for you. God is going to fight for you. You know, on the edge of the desert, on the edge of Canaan, they sent spies in. This is later on, right? But Moses is recounting to that time, and he says that, he said, I said to you in Deuteronomy 1, don't be terrified, don't be afraid of them. You see, the spies went in, and they saw there were giants in the land. There were big people there, so we can't, 10 of the spies said, no, we can't go in, it's not going to happen. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, yeah, God is opening the doors. We got to go. Let's go. Moses said to them, don't be terrified. Don't be afraid of them. The Lord your God who is going before you, he will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the desert. He says, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carried his son all the way until you reached this place. He said, in spite of that, you did not trust in the Lord your God. Moses said, listen, God, do you remember what all God did? He took you through the sea. He took you through all these different things. And yet, they got to the edge and they said, no, we can't go in. And they didn't trust him. I think the big message of Scripture that God says to you and me is, will you just trust me? Will you just trust me? When Moses was talking to Joshua, who would take over for him, about the battles that were certainly ahead, he said, don't be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. God himself will fight for you. You need only to be calm. Be still. The word literally means to be silent, to be quiet. Hold your peace. How many times you and I, we just need to stop. We need to be still and know that he's God, that he's going to work it out, that he's going to do it. Remember who he is and what he has done and what he can do in your life, what he can do now for you. So Moses gives them these incredible words. Verse 15, then this is what happens. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Why? It's time now to get moving. It's time, you know, there's a time to pray, yes, but there's also a time to move. There's a time for both. I love Ecclesiastes, you know, there's a time for everything under the sun. God has worked it out for that. There's a time for us to stop and pray. And then finally God says, you know what? Now there's nothing left to it but to do it. That's a friend of mine said that once. Okay, now it's time. Time to move on. Time to go. It's go time. And they're in this situation where it doesn't, like, how's that going to happen? But verse 16, this is how it happens. God tells Moses, raise your staff over the sea. Raise your staff over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. He tells Moses, you need to raise your staff and raise your hand. And he takes this staff, and that staff, remember, it's kind of important when you think of the picture of this staff that he had in his hand, because when God called Moses, that's what he had in his hand. There wasn't anything special about it, but God made it special, and he used it in different ways. And so he said, take that staff, which he calls later the staff of God, and raise it and divide the water so that you can go through. Sometimes we need to just raise our hands to the Almighty God and say, okay. And God's saying, I want you to go through. Again, they're in this incredibly impossible situation. Verse 17, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians will know that I am Yahweh the Lord, when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Verse 19, then the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. And throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side, the side of the Egyptians, and light to the other side, the side of the Israelites. So neither went near the other all night long. Isn't that a beautiful picture? This is what God did for them. God brought this pillar that he had given to them, and he put it between them and the enemy. You see, I think God protects us in a similar way. In other words, in a common phrase, God had their backs, right? He went behind them, and he had their backs. And he has your back, and he has mine as well. When we're going forward, okay, when we're going the wrong way, he's not going to have your back, just so you know. Well, he's always got my back. Well, he doesn't got your back if you're disobeying, you're going in the wrong direction. But they were going forward towards the Red Sea. Moses had raised his staff, and God put darkness on the side of the world, the Egyptians, and light on the side of God's people. David Guzik said this, and I like this. He said, we often have little idea how much God does to protect us from the attacks of our unseen enemies. We sometimes feel overwhelmed, but we may not know what it would be like if the Lord pulled back his protection. We have no idea how much God has spared us, protected us. We think it's bad. If God was not there to watch out for you and protect you, you don't know what bad is. Honestly. Verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind, and he turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through. They went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, you know what? There are people who read these verses and different events in the Scripture, and they try to, you know, make it so it was just some kind of natural phenomenon that, you know, that just could have happened if this lined up and that lined up. But you know what? No. This is a miraculous event. This is bringing glory to God. This isn't some natural thing that just happened and they went through the reeds, you know, the dry. No, it says this was dry ground. This is a miraculous thing that God has done. And you know what? If you don't serve a God who has the power to do miracles, and we read the accounts of what he's done here, well, then you don't serve a God that can do anything. This is the God who made a way for them where there was no way. And I truly, truly believe that this is true today as well. That God is a God who can make a way where there is no way. Look at verse 23. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. And during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians say, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Isn't that incredible? First of all, the Lord, He looks down and He sees what's going on and He sends them into confusion. They thought the Israelites were in confusion. And who ends up in confusion? It's them. And they realized exactly what Moses had told the Israelites. The Lord will fight for you. That's what they said. The Lord is fighting for them. Verse 26, then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it or away from it. And the Lord swept them into the sea, and the water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. Stretch out your hand again. That's a picture here, you see, of the enemies being destroyed. You know, you read the book of Revelation, you see Satan thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever. It's going to happen. God's going to do it. In His time, of course. Verse 29, but the Israelites, they went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. And that day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord. And they put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant. Of course, for them, it was going to be kind of a roller coaster ride, wasn't it? You read about the people of Israel, and sometimes it's like that in our lives too. But after this, it says they put their trust in the Lord. They feared Him. They put their trust in Him and also in Moses, His servant. I don't know what your life and your situation is, but you know what? I want you to just keep in mind that the Lord is going to fight for you and He will get you through. So many times I say, I don't want to go through this. But God says the way is through, not around, not back. The way is through, ahead, forward. And He's going to fight for you and He's going to fight for me. One commentator says this, we may find ourselves in desperate circumstances at times. When we do, we too need to stand firm and expect God to act. He remains able to make us a path through the sea. He's able to do it. That's the God who you and I serve. One last statement, God didn't remove the sea. He made a way through. Can He do that for you? Do you believe that He can? Maybe you already know He's done it for you before. God is so faithful, and He will. He will. Let's pray, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the way You took care of Your people, the Israelites. And when it looked like there was no way, You made a way. You opened the way when it was impossible. And You receive all the glory, all the honor. And Lord, I know that You work in our lives. You take care of us. Situations we face are sometimes incredibly impossible, insurmountable. But yet You open the way for us because You're fighting for us. Father, we're prone to fear, we're prone to panic, we're prone to not trusting You. And I pray that You'd help us, Lord, and to hold up our hands to You and trust You, know that you're going to open the way. I pray for your people here today. I don't know what they might be facing, but you know. You even know their thoughts right now. You know what they're thinking. You know what they're facing. I pray that you would show them, direct them, guide them as you led your people, Israel, guide them and lead them here even today in this life. Father, I thank you that you love us so much, and not only are you going to get us through this life, but you're going to take us to heaven. As you took them to the promised land, you got them there. It was a long journey, and they had a lot of ups and downs, but you got them there. You're going to get us to the promised land of heaven as well. It's because we've trusted in Jesus as our Savior. We believe in the blood of Jesus that forgives us and cleanses us from all sin. That he died for me, that he rose from the dead, conquering sin, conquering death. And that's where we are. We're one of your children because of it, and we stand with you, and we trust you. And perhaps if there's any here that have not made that decision to trust him and to ask him into your life, today's a good day. Simply open your heart and pray and say, Jesus, please, I need you. I'm lost. Please come into my life and forgive me, and forgive me of all my sin. And I give you my heart. I give you my life today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together and sing, shall we?